Blog Talk Radio.
Hello everyone, Lauren L. here. This broadcast is Lauren L. of the High Desert. I cover all kinds of news connecting to the Morongo Basin here in Southern California, as well as nearby communities. I try to specifically focus on news relating to development in the area, such as solar project installations, any kind of commercial development, housing development. That is my focus. But in between that activity, I also share information relating to the community and cultural events and whatever supports local environmental related groups. So thank you so much for tuning in. You can learn more about my broadcast by visiting Lauren L. of the High Desert.com. High is spelled H-I. Lauren L. of the High Desert is brought to you by CrossFit Yucca Valley, which is a really great workout location in Yucca Valley. It's group oriented and it's so much fun. I'm going to share more about it later. So I really appreciate CrossFit being a part of this broadcast. I'm going to start the show by sharing a piece of history coming from a book that was published by the Morongo Basin Historical Society and the 29 Palms Historical Society. This is a book that consists of a small story relating to the history of the Morongo Basin over a period of 100 years. So this particular piece of information I'm sharing is coming from the year 1919, and the article name is Cattlemen of the Morongo Basin. So here's what it says. When California gained statehood in 1850, the California cattle industry began beef and dairy ranching to support the masses of miners and settlers entering the vast deserts in Southern California. Thousands of cattle roamed the desert from Needles to the Morongo Basin. One of the first cattlemen to the Morongo Basin was Ole Smith. In the late 1870s, brought a herd of Texas Longhorn cattle into Quail Springs. In Hidden Valley, the McHaney brothers' cattle were rumored to have been rustled. Other cattle outfits included the Talmadge brothers, Swarthout, McKinney, and Barker and Shea Cattle Company. Throughout the Morongo Basin area, cattlemen dug wells, improved springs, and built tanks or dams and natural catch basins to water their stock. The Barker and Shea Cattle Company constructed a dam in what is now Joshua Tree National Park, later enlarged by Bill Keyes for his cattle. Shea Cowboys also dug a well at 29 Palms Oasis for human consumption. In 1945, Jim Stocker, the San Bernardino County Sheriff and cattle rancher, was the last holder of a grazing permit. Very interesting to know. Again, that's coming from 1919. Hence why there are dams throughout the area. I didn't know that. Very cool. I'm very supportive of the Morongo Basin Historical Society, because they share a lot of information relating to what has happened here in the Morongo Basin historically and really how this development came about. So I'm really glad that they published this book. It's only $5. I bought it at the 29 Palms Old Schoolhouse, which is a popular destination for visitors in the area. I'm going to brief over events that I have on my calendar. All of the events that I'm sharing here can be viewed at any time, again, at my website, Lauren L. of the High Desert. I have more information there. Please visit and support the groups that I am sharing. On this coming Friday, which is actually March 27th, it will be the last Friday Night Lights at CrossFit Yucca Valley in Yucca Valley. And this has been a unique event because it happens once a year at CrossFit, which again is a location for working out. I'm going to be interviewing the owners of CrossFit in the near future here on the broadcast, so they will be able to share more about what specifically CrossFit is. But this has been an event that's been happening for the past 5 weeks, every Friday, where CrossFit participants compete against one another doing various routines, and they're judged. And the community is actually invited to view this competition. So it is open to the public. And this Friday will be the last one. And so it starts at 5. Anyone is welcome. And they have a potluck. And it's just a lot of fun for people to see. And I want to point this out because I actually go to CrossFit and I started a few weeks ago. And so even though it is a competition, people are able to participate in any way, even if you are a beginner at CrossFit. So I actually didn't participate at the last Friday Night Lights at CrossFit, but I was still able to do the workout while a few other CrossFit members did the competition. So even though I was just working out, it was really fun because I had an audience viewing me. I was really nervous, but they said, you can do the workout anyway, just work out. And I was like, okay. So they obviously changed it or customized the weights that I was lifting according to what I can do. But it's just so fun. You know, I just want to point out how fun CrossFit is because they do these community-oriented workouts and invite the public, and it's just so exciting. So again, Friday Night Lights happening this Friday, March 27th, starting at 5 p.m. Moving on to other events happening in the Morongo Basin. I know that by the time you listen to this, it's probably going to be too late, but 33 Bulls, aka Hans, will be performing at First World tonight, which is Sunday, March 22nd, starting at 5 p.m. And I just wanted to give him a shout out because I have been to his Tibetan singing bowl sessions in the past, and they are amazing. I know many of you are probably familiar with the sound baths that happen at the Integratron out in Landers, which involve crystal singing bowls. Well, Hans uses Tibetan singing bowls, and it's just absolutely amazing. I've been to a number of his sessions over the past few years, and I always have enjoyed his sessions. And he does longer sessions than what you can find at the Integratron. So it's really good to keep up with Hans and what he's doing if you enjoy relaxation and just having interesting experiences. He hosts really great sessions, and I really support what he does. If you would like more information about him, just go to Facebook and search 33 Bulls, the number 33, and you can learn more about it. He has CDs available, so you can actually listen to his sessions while you're at home, which is really cool. There will be a Joshua Tree Earthen Finishes class that's starting on March 27th, and it will be taking place in Pioneertown. I recently learned about this, and so I'm going to read more about it. I'm very supportive of alternative structures and energy efficiency initiatives. So again, this is a class. It will be starting March 27th, and it goes through March 29th, 2015. Here's a description of it. Earthen plasters are a great way to finish just about any wall substrate in the home. They create a soft, natural, and breathable final plaster layer, which regulates humidity, smells, and sound in the room. Adobe Is Not Software is pleased to have Kurt Gardella return to California for 3 days of intensive instruction in interior and exterior earthen finish practices. Attendees will leave the class with knowledge of how to specify, mix, and apply earthen plasters and clay paint. The class is suitable for both building professionals and do-it-yourselfers. Topics include finish selection for conventional and earthen buildings, soil and material selection, sourcing and testing, use of earthen materials to improve thermal performance of existing buildings, such as adobe brick, cob, and light straw clay infill for frame walls, vapor permeability, water resistance and stabilization, tools and application techniques, application around boards, windows, and other openings, pigments and finishing, detailing, conventional and traditional plaster reinforcing techniques, as well as code considerations, which I know is really important. This is a hands-on class. Attendees will have the opportunity to get dirty and use tools and equipment typical of Adobe construction. Due to the course format, enrollment will be limited to 14 individuals. It is an unlikely event of inclement weather. Instruction will occur indoors. Children under the age of 14, unfortunately, cannot be accommodated. Again, this is being taught by Kurt Gardella, who teaches Adobe construction at Santa Fe Community College, is Director of Education for Adobe in Action, and is certified as an earth building specialist by the German Deutschverband LEM. Hopefully some of you know German names. Ben Loscher is a licensed architect, founder of Adobe Is Not Software, and principal of Loscher McKim Architects. So this is hosted by Adobe. It's not software. I'm not very familiar with this group, but the link is available on my website. So if you would like to look more into it, just go visit. You can also just simply go to adobeisnotsoftware.com. That sounds like a lot of fun. I'm not really sure what the fee is. Moving on to other events, 350 Joshua Tree will be hosting a meeting on April 1st, starting at 5 p.m. at the Beatnik Lounge in Joshua Tree. 350 Joshua Tree is a relatively new group, and they are joining forces with Transition Joshua Tree. 350 Joshua Tree is a climate change group. That's what their emphasis and focus is. And they want to say thank you for all of those of you who came out to their climate change love event that went on at the Beatnik Lounge a couple weeks ago. And they are looking for new members who are interested in the topic of climate change. So if you are, then please head over to their event. Transition Joshua Tree is actually really active. Now that I've been keeping an open eye on what's happening in the high desert, a lot of events that I hear about are somehow connected to Transition Joshua Tree, so they're a really great group. Transition Joshua Tree will also be hosting a carpool event on April 4th and 11th. This is connected to the Malki Museum, which is located in Banning. The Malki Museum will be hosting an agave harvest and tasting event. So here's the description about the event because it sounds pretty fun. The agave was a staple food item of the Kaweah and other Southern California Native American tribes. Join us and learn how this tasty crop was gathered and cooked. Daniel McCarthy, Malki Museum board member, will give a lecture on the historical uses of agave as well as lead and demonstrate how to harvest the plant. This will be taking place on April 4th, 2015, starting at 10 a.m. And the cost is $10. Donations are appreciated. Bring with you sturdy walking shoes, sunscreen, plenty of drinking water, a snack, and leather gloves. And they are hoping that you can reserve your spot. You can call 951-849-7289. And again, in relation to Transition Joshua Tree, the group will be carpooling to the Malki Museum. So if you would like to connect with them, then go to my website. The information is there. And you can also simply search Transition Joshua Tree online, and you'll find their website and all their contact information. This event will continue on April 11th, which is a Saturday at 10 p.m., and this is when agave tasting will be happening. So it says, the harvested agave will be exhumed from the roasting pit at 10 a.m. At noon, visitors will have the opportunity to sample various delicious native foods, which will include, but not be limited to, roasted agave, rabbit stew, pine nuts, cornbread, and chia seeds, as well as squash. Throughout the day, there will be multiple demonstration booths providing information about plant usage, basket weaving, and much more. And so Transition Joshua Tree will be carpooling to this event as well. Sounds like a lot of fun in Banning, which is not too far away. Moving on with events, there's always so much happening up here. Death Valley Gym will be doing a Q&A and book signing session at Rose Investors on April 5th, starting at 2 p.m. This is Easter Day, believe it or not. Valley Gym is a very prominent journalist in the area. He covers all kinds of information relating to locations in the southwestern desert region, locations that are really a point to go see and visit relating to native artifacts and just general geological phenomenons. He has his own blog you can visit if you go to deathvalleygym.com and learn more about him. So he will be at Rose Investors, and he's a really great guy. I've met him a number of times, and so it's a really great place. And Rose Investors is really a great place as well. They're constantly hosting all kinds of events featuring musicians, authors, and other topics. And you can go there and taste wine while you're there and enjoy the event that's happening. That should be a lot of fun. Okay, so that's the events that I have for now. There are a lot more events coming up, believe me, and I can't go over them forever. So just go to my website, laurenlofthehighdesert.com, and you can see what's going to be happening in the next few weeks so you can plan ahead and participate and support the local groups that are doing things to keep everyone entertained up here in the Morongo Basin. I'm going to go over some events that I went to as of recent. I did go to the Death Cafe on Sunday, March 15th. That was held at the Joshua Tree Retreat Center. This was actually hosted by Transition Joshua Tree, and it was the first public Death Cafe to happen in the Morongo Basin. And I went over this a little bit in my last show, that Death Cafe is actually known as a quote-unquote social franchise. It initiated in the UK a few years ago, and so far it has spread throughout the world. There have been death cafes that have been hosted in different parts of Europe, Australia, Asia, as well as here in North America. And basically what Death Cafe is just a forum where people can come together and share their thoughts and experiences on the topic of death. And the goal is to really bring this subject that is considered taboo. Many of us probably agree that the topic of death is taboo. It's not openly discussed, or people make assumptions that, you know, death is just not a good topic to bring up in the public. So this Death Cafe's goal is to allow people to speak about this topic that we normally wouldn't speak about. And they have coffee and cake, and it was actually really nice. There were a lot of people who showed up. It was primarily older people. Time goes on and more are hosted. We will see a better range in age. But the topics that were discussed they ranged in a wide spectrum. It was pretty interesting. I know that you probably assume, oh, a death cafe is going to be really depressing, but it wasn't. There were a lot of people who shared interesting experiences involving family members and friends and young ones, and they also shared other information such as burial preparation and there were questions that came up really about what happens in this situation. How can I go about the burial process if we want to do this? How do we react if the person who passed away had these desires? And so again, it was just a wide spectrum of topics that were discussed. And there were definitely moments that were very touching. And I have to be honest, I did tear a little bit in my eyes. But at the same time, there were moments of laughter and smiles. And so it was just really nice. And there is another Death Cafe coming up, believe it or not. It will be taking place on April 7th. And it will be happening in Yucca Valley. This event is requiring reservation because space is limited. So if you would like to make a reservation, you can call 760-365-3917 and reserve your spot. I will be there. Will be cool. And so here's the highlight topic of my broadcast today. I did go to the recent Black Rock lecture that's been hosted every month for the past few months. And the topic of this lecture was engaging a new generation of park stewards. It took place on Friday, March 20th at Copper Mountain College. And the topic was about environmental education for young people, for students, everything from kindergartners up to high school, and really how to engage young people in environmental education. So this was really, to be honest, my favorite Black Rock lecture that I've seen. I've been to the last 4 to 5 Black Rock lectures, and they have all been very interesting. I really support the Black Rock lecture series, but this has by far been my most favorite one because I see it as such a critical issue. I know that we're facing a lot of issues here right now in regards to the solar development and other types of development in the Morongo Basin, but I think that the young people are really the future. And so this is, to me, a critical issue for the long term and the long haul. A little bit about this event. There were 3 featured panel speakers. The speakers were Ramina Arce from the Living Desert, Caroline Conway from Wildlands Conservancy, and Cindy Zach, who is an educator at Yucca Valley High School. I'll tell you a little bit about what each speaker focus on in their presentation. Ramina Arce from the Living Desert shared information about a program called Zoo Teens at the Living Desert, which is a volunteer opportunity for students to participate in living desert activities such as animal care, educating visitors, working with guests that go to the living desert, as well as location management. And so she shared how this program has been going on for a while at the Living Desert, but she took over the reins a couple years ago of the program and really stepped up to the plate to make the program robust and useful for the volunteers. So she mentioned that the goal is to emphasize the volunteers at the Living Desert and to really integrate them into the Living Desert so that the students gain experience and knowledge that they can carry on into their careers, so that can be added to their resume. So it was interesting to hear from her because she shared information about how students can be a part of environmental education while also gaining knowledge and experience that can go on their resume. And she mentioned that the Zoo Teen program is open to anybody. It's actually a four-year program. Students can participate for a year, and if they show that they are interested, that they did well in the program, they can actually progress and continue the program for up to 4 years. And so again, this is pretty a critical activity available for students who are looking to progress in environmental education topics and fields. Caroline Conway of the Whitewater or of the Wildlands Conservancy, that's who she is. She is head of the education program there. The Wildlands Conservancy is connected to the Whitewater Preserve, the Mission Creek Preserve, the Pioneertown Mountain Preserve, and she shared how these preserves are locations available for students to learn here in the Morongo Basin and the Coachella Valley. Will visit these preserves so that they can learn about their surroundings and about the environment here. So it was really interesting to hear from her about how the students react when they go to these preserves. And something that really struck me when Caroline was talking was that she said she has a really hard time getting the students to sit. She said that the students refuse to sit directly on the ground, that she might be lucky to get them to crouch, but for the most part, she made this comment because the students don't feel comfortable in the outdoors, that many students are not familiar with going outdoors. And so when they're outside, they're very, very conservative, or they're concerned about their themselves, and they don't want to sit down on the ground. They don't really want to explore. She mentioned that students will say that they can't go on trips because their parents said that there's snakes outside and that it's dangerous, and that students actually have a sense of fear when they go out because they're just not used to going outside. Their parents don't take them outside. And so she said that her goal is to bring students to the preserves and to bring them out and to just have them learn about their surroundings so they don't have this fear that they're not inside all the time. And it was really interesting to hear from her. She also said that the Wildlands Conservancy is connected to the Oak Glen Preserve as well as Wind Wolves Preserve, which Wind Wolves, I have never been there, but it's south of Bakersfield and is a noted preserve. Cindy Zaks, who is an educator at Yucca Valley High School, gave a talk as well, and she is very supportive of environmental education. She has been involved with education at Yucca Valley High School for 15 to 20 years. And she gave a really touching presentation where she mentioned that she's been teaching in the area so long that she is actually familiar with kindergartners and has seen them be a part of environmental education programs, children, and she's seen them grow to the point of graduating high school. And she's familiar with their parents. So she's been here long enough to see students progress through school. And so she mentioned that she has been a very big supporter of environmental education at Yucca Valley High School, and that there's actually a garden that opened up at the high school a few years ago, that she was a really big supporter of getting this garden going. And it's been a really fantastic program at the school because the students are able to learn about how to grow food and do all of these activities. But something touching that she shared was photos of Fraser Haney, who is of the Mojave Desert Land Trust, and as well as April Fall of the California Desert Coalition. And as I've been going to events here in the community, I've seen them a lot, Fraser Haney and April Fall. And so Cindy Zaks actually mentioned that they were at one point her students, and that they took off, you know, they went to school and studied and they came back, and now they're these really involved residents, that they've done a lot of work here to protect the Morongo Basin. And so she was saying that it's a full circle, that when you impact students in environmental education, they will grow up to really be interested in the topic and they'll remember. And I wanted to personally share my experiences on this topic, because growing up, two of my most memorable experiences in school was visiting the Salton Sea when I was in elementary school, as well as visiting Joshua Tree National Park. And I'll never forget the trip to the Salton Sea, specifically seeing the dead fish on the shoreline. To this day, I can remember it. I did a major paper on the Salton Sea when I was studying geology at Humboldt State University. And I think that these experiences as a child of going outdoors and learning about the critical topics in the area have really impacted me. To be honest, to the point of that's why I started this broadcast. I think that my experiences as a child in these topics are what built a foundation in my interest today, to the point where I actually studied geology for a number of years in school, because I learned that we're facing so many critical issues and challenges relating to the environment. So this was, again, my favorite lecture. I think it was a critical topic for the long run, the long haul in the area, is children and really impacting them in regards to challenges that we're facing here in the Morongo Basin and just in general, Southern California and beyond. If you would like to know more about this, then please contact me and I will have the contact information for these speakers. I'm very supportive of it. And finally, I just want to close by saying that there was a memorial for a woman who passed away in the desert. Her name was Ruth Dennison. And so there was an article published by the High Desert Star that stated, "Meditation teacher remembered for her work and influence." And the Morongo Basin Conservation Association also sent out an email where they specifically noted Ruth Dennison, who has been supportive of their program for a long time. So I just wanted to read a couple paragraphs from this story, Dennison, because I thought it was a nice article. It was published on March 20th, 2015. And it states, "At 1 p.m. today, Ruth Dennison, a meditation teacher and pioneer in bringing Buddhist teachings to Americans, will be remembered and laid to rest. Dennison, born in 1922 in East Prussia, now Germany, was a Buddhist meditation teacher for 43 years, though this wasn't always the plan. Dennison's husband, Henry, was a spiritual seeker and former monk. He had a desire to learn from Yu Ba Khin, a Buddhist master in Burma, India, and when Dennison went with him, she found her calling. She was the one we excelled," said Jill Reyna. "Dennison returned to the States, and once people found out she was a meditation teacher, would go anywhere to teach the Dharma, the teaching of Buddha. Wasn't always easy for Dennison. Growing up in a Nazi-dominated country, she was subjected to near-fatal abuses and privations, according to a press release from PR News." That's all I'm going to read on this story for now. I'm just about out of time, but I just wanted to note that she is a really respected resident in the area, and a lot of people reference to Ruth Dennison when she passed away. I will post this on my Facebook page, Lauren L. of the High Desert, so that you can read more about Ruth. Thank you so much for tuning in. I hope all of you have a wonderful week, and I'll be here next week. Thanks a lot. Take care.